All right, we are here, and we're ready for your questions. This is the place where you write the workshop with us, in a sense, and also we want to emphasize that the questions that we will be answering will only be questions that are on this topic. We're not going to answer any questions that are personal issues that should be better served in a private session, all right? So the juicy questions on this topic, please.
Okay, so we're going to start with an easy one here, a one-liner. Maybe I missed this earlier, but what is the purpose of our egos?
All right, the purpose of the ego is to enable a person to enable you to live in 3D, okay? It enables you to have a distinction between who you are and who other people are, to have a distinction between your personal space and out there. It also, its function is to be the part of you that reaches out into the world, touches the world, and brings back to you that which is aligned with who you are. It has that, it's that part of you. It goes out, brings stuff in. It's really your input from the world. It comes through the ego. And if you have a positive ego, of course, the input is untainted, undistorted, untwisted, and very precise and exact and correct to what it is that's out there and here. But of course, as we have pointed out, the ego can only bring to you what your context is, what your in alignment with your beliefs and your feelings and things like that. So that's why you may not be able to attract in your manifestation the things that you want, because inside yourself you may already have beliefs that you're not lovable, you're not worthy, you don't deserve it, or that you didn't do enough to earn it, or that somehow or another someone else is doing something to you, or that you know, you're this is not part of your destiny, and you, so therefore you cannot go this direction. Or there's all sorts of messages on all sorts of levels. And that if you hold those messages, if you hold those ideas in you, the ego cannot bring you what you say on the surface, what you say consciously that you want. The whole purpose of working with the ego in your lifetime is so that, and all the way up through fourth plane, is so that you can fulfill your individuality. You see, that right now you're living in a culture in which individuality has become hyper important. You've got to be the individual, like every person's got to be a leader, an entrepreneur, an achiever, a success story, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to dream big and you've got to go for it, and so on. And it's all this whole focus on the individual, individual, individual. And it's reached a kind of an extreme, because the individual, extreme individualism or hyper-individualism is essentially a facade feature of the negative or destructive ego. And so in a sense, it can take you way off the journey, and you don't connect with others, you don't have better community connection, you get stuck in adolescent, high school type of networks and games and so on and so on. But your spiritual path is about you really owning and knowing the individual that you are, not to be individualistic. I have to do it myself. I have to be the achiever. I have to stand out. I have to be more important. I have to be better than. But I am who I am, the unique person that I am. And so When you find your unique individual self, then the manifestation that you use in your life with your ego becomes reflective of that, and you really expand tremendously on your spiritual path, and therefore you're able to then connect with the divine and become one. And when you become one, this is the Aquarian Age thing, you're one, but at the same time, you're an individual. You're an individual. It's like in your imagination. Imagine if you see a glass of water, and imagine that all the individual drops of water are saying, "Hi, I'm a drop of water, but I'm all together with my friends here." You know, it's like you maintain your individualness, your, and so on. And so the ego is there to help you with your feedback so that you can really distinguish your unique individual self, you, from everything else, from everybody else. And it also helps keep you from being sublimated, submerged, and drowned, you might say, in the group or collective consciousness. So it really can be extraordinarily important and powerful and supportive and positive and all those kinds of good things. And so that's why we're talking about it today, to get rid of the negativity and the destructiveness that comes with of putting too much importance on the ego, which is the gopher, is the one who does the interactions and so on, and not as much on who you really truly are. Okay.
Okay, so our good friend Nick the Greek, he says that he's in the middle of a very creative project. When he's on in the throes of the creative imagination time and he has a technical computer problem, it seems like the negative ego comes in and takes him way out of the creative process. So his question then is, how can I keep the negative ego from disrupting my creative process when it gets me crazy of the technical computer issue?
All right, well, yeah, that's a typical kind of ego sabotage, but you have to understand that what your context is, and your context is that in your personal history regarding your computer, you have all this aggravation about your computer. You have a history of being aggravated about computer issues. And so basically the context is that you expect at times to have computer issues, that you're aggravated about the computer issues, and that it's really annoying to have these computer issues. And, oh gosh, I have to put up for it because I didn't do this or that or the other, you know, whenever, and I didn't get the right, you know, software or whatever it is, whatever the computer issue is, or I didn't buy from the right company, I don't have the right support team, I don't blah, 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 blah. If you have all of that stuff in your context, the destructive ego goes, aha, I have a way to really get at him. I have a way to really annoy him. So, voila, all right? So here's what you want to do is to program yourself for a new context. And you take the context of you go and deal with your computer and do your stuff, and when it's working okay again, then you talk to with your computer and you say, "Computer, I love you. Please forgive me for being upset at you and angry at you, and I want you to work really well. And so I'm going to put some love with you. I'm going to call the gnomes, the earth energies. The gnomes are the elementals that can help repair computers and stuff. So you name your computer, you bring the elementals in and a little meditation, and you're like, yeah, it's all like get everything going really well. And then you do a meditation, you do a manifestation meditation where you imagine yourself in the future talking to somebody about all the, your creative project and how effortless the computer served you, how easy it went, how it just flows, and how you just expect that the computer's really working for you now. That this is just, it's just the way it is. This is just natural for me. And you want to feel what that feels like. You want to own what that feels like, okay? So that you get the context correct, okay? And then also, in the meditation we're going to do today, we also have the talk. We're going to have a talk, and it's an imprint of your context that you want to come from. It's like the base that you use from which you reach out and stretch out and expand. So we're going to give you that base, okay, or this speech or whatever we're going to call it. What you might want to do is to, when you listen to it again or something, or maybe transcribe that particular speech or whatever, and just go through it, just read it every day and own it, because it's your truth. And then from there, you can start expecting. You have to expect what it's going to be like for your computer not to act up anymore. What's going to be like? What other vulnerable opening are you going to give your destructive ego to have wreak revenge on you or whatever? So you'll have to deal with your ego, of course, to stop that. But the most important thing is that you have to shift your context.
Okay, so from Helen, I've been moving into a more authentic self and getting clearer about what I want.
Very good.
However, when I engage with the world, I am not getting positive feedback. I don't want to put much charge on my new ventures and need to figure out how to build stronger trust in my authentic me. For example, a new real estate client fired me, I think because I was too enthusiastic and overserviced her. Secondly, I have posted an ad for new tenants to the addition of my house and said I'm looking for people wanting to live in a separate apartment unit but in community, and no one responded to the ad. Again, I think I'm too excited about the new life I am building. How do I stay grounded and build ever-increasing trust while hitting these obstacles?
Very good point. All right, So first of all, it's kind of similar to Nick Bolt. It's what we would say here, though, Helen, is that the enthusiasm is great, but you know, you don't use the enthusiasm to dominate your context. It's kind of like people who use affirmations too much, but they don't get rid of the negations that may have been there before. So what we're seeing what we sense, and this is something that's common that a lot of people do, is that in your enthusiasm, like with this real estate client that fired you, and you think that did that client actually tell you you were too enthusiastic, or is that your assumption? Because if it's your assumption, that's you looking at your facade, in the mirror, and trying to pretend to see from other point of view of other people of the world what was wrong with you. So you don't want to do that, okay? What you want to do is say, okay, I was really enthusiastic. Maybe I did go overboard on it or whatever. Maybe it was something else. What you don't want to set this up as a belief in the future. I can't be that enthusiastic in the future, because I remember back there, I lost that real estate client because I was too enthusiastic. If that was not actually true, now you've put in a false belief that'll limit you in the future. Okay. So what you want to do is say, okay, I lost that client because that client just did not vibe well with who I am. Okay? It's like what we were saying about relationships earlier, is that you want to go out, and if you're single and you're having your first date or whatever, you have to be yourself. Don't be on good behavior. Because if you aren't yourself, if you aren't relaxed and, okay, I'm just going to act the way I always do, this is just going to be another day for me, I'm going to just present myself, here I am, and this is going to be fun, you know, just fun adventure, meeting a new person, et cetera, et cetera. No extreme charge like this has got to be the one or anything, but I'm just going to enjoy myself and be myself. If that person goes, and runs the other way, it's because whoever you are presenting as your authentic self didn't match. So the key is not for you to change your behavior to try to match what you think people need from you or would want from you so that you can be on good behavior, so you can be present as the person that they want. What you want to do here is to honor your own enthusiasm and relish it and love it and say, whoa, I'm just like this enthusiastic person. I'm just, wow, this feels great. I'm so creative. I'm just really raring to go. And allow that to just bubble up your energy and say, okay, I'm going to put this out there. And I want real estate clients who like my energy, who match me. And if you can own that without trying to change your behavior or adapt to some kind of marketing plan, strategy, where you have to act like this or that or the other, if you can just stay with who you are, okay, and be authentic, and you can just maybe do a green candle ritual or do whatever your meditations are and so on, and just expect that the universe is going to send you clients that match you, that like you, that will want to work with you, that just enjoy your enthusiasm to no end. Okay? That's being authentic. But that also requires trusting that when you are authentic, that you'll get what you want. Okay? And you have to get rid of any kind of limiting beliefs underneath there that say, oh, I've got to do it all a certain way, or I'm not experienced enough in this, or I'm not doing it good enough, or I never tend to do it good enough, or any kind of that self-limiting self-talk that's underneath there. Of course, you've got to get rid of that too. Okay, but the important thing is you want to find clients that match you, that vibe with you. And when you find those clients, they're really, really good, okay? And they will be more enthusiastic in turn for you and turn more people on to you. So it just works 100% for you, okay?
Okay, so this is interesting because we have back-to-back a couple of questions that are pretty similar.
All right.
And so Kat says, how do I tell negative ego from my mind talk? And Donald says, my negative ego is always dumping negative thoughts in my mind. It never lets up. How do I arrest that and reduce some of those thoughts?
Okay. Yes, yes. Those two questions do go together. Thank you to both of you for those. All right. Well, mind talk. We did a seminar on mind talk, so if you really want to clear stuff out, you probably would do you well for you to take the whole seminar, get into it, really get into it and work it. But just for now, what we would say is this, is that mind talk and the negative ego are not the same thing. The negative ego uses the mind talk. It puts negative judgmental thoughts in there, okay? And it does that because back when you were a child, you accepted judgments from others and you felt kind of powerless. Now, you relied on the ego to interpret whatever anybody else said or did or how they looked at you or whatever for you. And so, of course, the negative ego will interpret it in a negative way, because that's what it wants to destroy you. It wants to have revenge. So when you, if you can do this, if you can recognize that you have negative thoughts in your mind talk, and you find yourself ruminating over the same negative type things and going to this negative thing and that negative thing like that, you have to learn how to say stop and distinguish yourself from your mind talk. Because see, when you get stuck thinking you're the ego, then all the ego does is just dump in you, and then you fall for it, and you fall for the emotion of it, and you get sucked into the negativity. You just get sucked into it. You feel powerless. It seems to be what's going on. It seems to be the truth. It seems to be just something that you have no power over. But the fact is that you have complete and total power over your mind talk. But you have to acknowledge that the mind talk is mind talk. And the voice of the mind talk, or the voice of all of these negative expressions, is not your voice. It's not you. Your mind talk is not you. It's, you have this kind of channel into your brain, kind of brain mind, and all this debris just goes blah, 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 down in it. But when you accept it as yourself, and you go with it, and you submit to it, and you don't have any authority, then you begin to think that it's true to you, that this is just the way it is, and that you can do nothing. What we're saying is that you can do everything. You can listen to mind talk, and when negative thoughts show up, you can say, oh, negative thoughts again. Oh, the destructive ego must be having a field day today. Okay, another negative thought. It brings up fear too. It gets me scared and stuff like that. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I don't really think I don't feel a direct threat right now. And here's what I would prefer: not to have to think all these negative thoughts and feel all these negative feelings that go with the thoughts. I really prefer to think something positive right now. What can I think that I'm grateful for right now? What can I think that I would prefer to think about? Is there anything creative that I would enjoy working on? Is there anything I'd like to do? What would I like to work on? What would I like to think about? What would I like to dream about and mull over Okay, so that's the first thing that you do. Now, if you don't think you can do that, then we would suggest you would need to do our Mind Talk seminar and then do this one over again and over again until you get the split between the ego and you, until you can kind of get them separated, get them out, get them distinct from each other, okay? So that's what we would suggest. But you see, one of the things about negative mind talk is that there's an emotional hook. It's really not just the words or the thoughts that come through, but how you get hooked into an emotion, and that this emotion reflects your belief about reality somehow. Okay? We're talking about how the negative ego convinces you that the world is an unsafe place, it's all competitive out there, and you've got to, you know, prove yourself worthy to earn love and attention and blah, 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 and all this kind of stressful, crappy stuff. Okay, so when the negative thoughts come in, there's a hook that comes with it. And this hook, okay, this hook takes you right down to this belief about reality, belief about the world, the way the world works, that it's dark, that there's suffering, and that you have to effort and struggle, and you're not doing it good enough, you're not succeeding good enough, and you're not this and that or good, or whatever. Okay? So that is, you know, the bullshit you picked up. So that needs to be worked with. You need to go and heal your worldview, part of which we're going to be doing in the meditation today in the speech. Okay? You're going to get the speech. It's the new context. But you've got so much negative context that you haven't, like, cleared out, that maybe it's over in a box somewhere in the corner, and you don't even think you have it anymore until the destructive ego starts blathering negative stuff, and then you just pull it all up and dump it all over you and start over again on all the negative stuff. You want to just recognize that you're holding a context. You're holding a worldview that is harmonious to these dark thoughts and feelings. And you need to go underneath the dark thoughts and feelings to clear it out and make new choices about what world you want to live in. This is big stuff, and you'll be doing that today. But the main thing is that you've got to remember you and your mind talk are not the same. The mind talk is not true. Not necessarily true at all. It may be just stupid stuff. It may be lies from the ego. So you've got to be able to say, I'm an authority on who I am, and right now I choose not to go down this dark path that these thoughts and feelings of negativity are taking me. I choose to stop right here. But it's your choice. It takes practice. It's not an easy thing to do. But once you get to doing it, wow, does your life get better. And that's why we teach you how to do all of that in the seminar on Mind Talk. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, so Lorraine, coming back, this says, this is very helpful. So the ego is not bad. We just need to release the destructive part. That's
yes.
Her conclusion from your response to her.
Yes, absolutely.
And it looks like there's no more questions.
Oh my.
Yeah, oh my indeed.
Yes, we must have covered a lot of territory. We did. Okay, all right. That's excellent. That's excellent. Okay, well, thank you, all those of you who asked questions. Thank you very much. We appreciate them. And they're very good questions as well. All right.